Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday morning. NASCAR returning to Nashville, and it's not exactly where we thought it would be. Back out to the Nashville Super Speedway we go, where I spent a decade out there before every race and attended every race and spent a lot of time out there in Gladeville, Tennessee. It's been a while since I've said Gladeville, Tennessee, but that is the case today. And John Roberts, who lives here in Nashville, and you can hear him every day on Sirius XM, the NASCAR channel. He now joins us. John, how you doing?
Good, guys. Pretty exciting day, I think, around these parts. I think the fans are fired up, and there's just a lot of great NASCAR fans around here. So pretty exciting stuff today.
Were you as surprised as us to learn that NASCAR was not only returning to Nashville? That really didn't surprise us, but the Cup race would be out in, you know, the Nashville Super Speedway? Or did you have people in your circles that were kind of hinting at that?
Well, 2 days ago, I got a phone call from somebody, and they said that Dover is probably going to lose a race, and it's going to come to Nashville. So I thought, okay, yeah, you know, until it's official, it's a rumor. But the fact of the matter was that I thought, too, I said, well, now, wait, it can't, because the fairgrounds aren't going to be quite ready. I mean, you need some time to get something ready like that, especially for a Cup Series race. So what I thought was maybe, you know, people were working towards a truck race or an Xfinity race or something like that, and then all of a sudden we got this announcement. So, yeah, I did not expect it to be where it is. I expected it to be at a different place. But I knew Nashville was ripe for the picking, guys, because of the way this town supports things. The real big winner here is Dover Motorsports. It was pretty obvious that they were going to lose an event. Attendance at Dover has been terrible for the last couple years, and some of the powers that be have said, look, if you have two races and you're not filling up the grandstands and you're not getting the excitement, chances are you're going to lose one of them. So when Dover built that track in 2001, it always was the idea to get a Cup race there, because if you look at the money, yeah, it's fine to have trucks and Xfinity at a place. But if you look at the money that comes in, you're talking about a four-year deal each year. The TV money alone is $18 to $20 million per event. So if you take about four of that away for the purse, you got to say this is a big win for Dover Motorsports, because you know, there's only 23 tracks out there. Dover owns one of them, and now they have two. And therefore, they can keep that revenue flow coming in. So this is a huge win for Dover Motorsports.
Yeah, I know it's still early, it's still fresh, and it's all still very fluid. But I know since you're doing a daily show that you're picking the brains of people behind the scenes, and you're talking to people. And if you can answer this stuff, great. If you can't, certainly we understand. But sure. I know the lay of the land out there very, very well. Like I said, used to do 2-3 hour pre-race shows before every single race, even the open wheel races with Liz Allison. So we know that track through and through. And Cliff Hawks and Sean Dozier, there's some names from the past that used to run that track and used to be in charge. They would have the grand, you know, there's the permanent grandstands, and then I think open wheel is the one that had the biggest attendance. I think one time, a couple times, it hit around 50,000. And so they've got the temporary seating. This is a four-year deal. Any idea what they would have in mind of how they would, you know, configure the grandstands? What kind of seating capacity we're talking about? And how do you handle that if you're Dover? Because it may be four and done, John. It may be for a long, long time. How do you prepare for that?
Well, I think that the fact of the matter is that they're going to have to shove some money into that thing. Now, you know, some of the numbers that have been thrown out so far, I think are way low. I heard somebody told me today that they're going to right away put $8 million into the grandstands. Yeah, that's fine, but I think it's going to be a bigger expenditure than that to get it up, because NASCAR is pretty strict about what kind of facility you're going to go to. Because for years, I think you guys will remember this, for years there were 42 pit stalls up at Dover. So somebody had to share a pit stall. And finally NASCAR stepped in and said, look, man, if you're going to have our top series, you're going to have a pit stall for every team, okay? And so they're going to look pretty hard at that. And I spoke with NASCAR President Steve Phelps this morning, And he said one of the things, because I had a few questions that I think are still going to be floating out there for a while. First of all, what about the fairgrounds? And he said, absolutely, we could coexist here and have a race out at the Super Speedway and have another event at the fairgrounds. But he cautioned that one. He said that the fairgrounds have quite a bit of work to do to get it up to cup-level standards.
Wow. Now, that would be interesting. This is something Jason and I floated out there in the first segment, and we weren't sure on the answer. Is there any market that has two cup races on the schedule that has two different ownership groups?
No,
That's what I thought.
Absolutely not.
Right, but I didn't. I wasn't 100% sure. My guess would have been absolutely not. So that would be a first, right?
It would be really interesting, and this dives a little bit more into the business side of it than I think a lot of fans may want to get into. But ISC, the NASCAR, ISC just was purchased by NASCAR, which is like, you know, me buying a car from my wife or something. You know, it's just, it was the same family anyway. And SMI, which is Speedway Motorsports, which is the group that's working hard on the fairgrounds, and they're still working towards it. They both recently went from public to private companies because that gives you an opportunity to move dates around. Dover Motorsports is still a publicly traded company, which is why we're getting so much information about this, about what money is going to be spent, what the purses are. With a privately owned company, you don't get that information. So that's the difference right there. And also, again, the difference is this is a huge win for Dover because out of the 23 tracks that we go to, I guess ISC has 12. SMI has 9 right now for the Cup Series. I'm talking just Cups. And then there's the Mattioli family with Pocono. And then there is the Dover with Dover. And now with this other track. So it's going to be interesting to see who spends what and who gets what. But the big fact of the matter is that I spoke with a couple people that are higher up in SMI, and they told me this morning that they have had, you know, at times people have said it's been contentious, what's gone on between Mayor Cooper and them, but they said not, you know, yeah, for a certain standpoint, but they said the Cooper administration has gotten them more traction on that fairgrounds project than previous administrations that they've dealt with. So by no means are the fairgrounds out of this thing, because it is a 4-year deal. And like you mentioned just a second ago, it could be 4 and done, but we just don't know.
Yeah. And all the drivers we've spoken to, what's interesting is they not only want to be and have a race in Nashville, they want to do it at the short track, you know, at the fairgrounds. And so I do wonder if today's news or yesterday's news is met with kind of mixed emotions with the drivers. Yay, we're going to Nashville. Boo, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to be on the short track at the fairgrounds.
Well, one guy I know for sure that feels that way is Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott said, man, I hope things go well there, because if they don't go well at the Super Speedway, it's going to hurt what we all really want, is to be on the short track. Now, that's not taking anything away from Dover. I think people are glad to race in this area at all. But that's, a mile and a third concrete track, which there's really nothing quite like that now. I mean, maybe Dover a little bit, but really a very unique layout for the track. People have been clamoring for a lot more short track racing. But the folks at Speedway Motorsports, over the years, they have been really brilliant about using their facilities for other things other than just racing. Like at Charlotte, you know, they have all these auto fairs. They have all these car clubs. They have all these people shooting car commercials at their racetrack throughout the year. And they have separate music events that they light the thing up at Christmas time like you wouldn't believe. And therefore, I just feel like Speedway Motorsports, to go into that fairground setting, and with the opportunities that you have for country music festivals, things other than racing that they're really good at, then cap that off with a short track cup event so close to a city. Because it kind of reminded me, guys, of Chicagoland Speedway. Couldn't be farther away from Chicago and couldn't really have less to do with the city of Chicago. I didn't want another situation like that for a racetrack where, you know, you call, hey, man, we're going to Nashville for a race. Well, we're, you know, way away from Nashville. If you're right there at the fairgrounds, you're a good couple of drivers away from hitting the city.
We're talking to John Roberts, SiriusXM, longtime NASCAR host and reporter. So, John, to go back to something on potentially racing at both places here in the next few years, whenever that may be, with the success that they have had through the coronavirus of midweek races and the talk of adding midweek races to the schedule permanently, is it feasible to think that you could race Wednesday night maybe at the fairgrounds and Sunday out at the Super Speedway and have two dates in 1 week at two different tracks in Nashville?
Absolutely. And you know, I think that's something that's been on people's minds for a while, and this plays right into it. You know, NASCAR had been talking about this major schedule overhaul in 2021 because there was a 5-year agreement that an old guard in NASCAR had signed with every racetrack. So we knew for 5 years where every NASCAR event was going to be, what track it was going to be at, and what the date was. So with that agreement going away, now they're going to be individual contracts again with individual tracks. So Nashville may have a 4-year deal. Well, they may go back to Pocono and say, tell them, okay, well, we got a 1-year deal with you to see how this doubleheader thing works out. But the feasibility of now putting together one of these events where, you know, you have a track in really close proximity, or maybe, you know, maybe a little farther apart, that you could put two events in. Yeah, I think it's a fastball over the plate to race at one and then to go to another one, provided that you get the fan support that you need, because that's why NASCAR is going away from some places right now, particularly Dover, because the fan support hadn't been there for years.
If you want to make it interesting, you flop that. I think you said, Chase, the fairgrounds on Wednesday. If you really want to make it interesting, let the drivers go out Saturday night if you want to make Sunday interesting. So put swap them. You do Dover on Wednesday, and you do the fairgrounds on Sunday. That way, you just never know who was in on time from Saturday night in downtown Nashville, and who was it, you know? That would make it a lot more fun.
Boyer could have an interesting
I'll bet right
drive.
Now, yeah, Boyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody's going to say, if he's still racing.
Yeah, that could be something that'd be interesting. You were hitting on it with the racing product itself at the Nashville Super Speedway, and you know some of the things they can do to make it better. I don't know the answer to this. I've brought this up. I've suggested, you know, with the advent of the PJ1 and the traction compound, what that does and has done to some of the racing. Do you think that could help the product a little bit if they use that on this track?
100%, absolutely, because it is just proven. You know, they used the compound for years in drag racing, and then the first time they put it out somewhere, you know, of course they gave it a try at Bristol and then at Charlotte, and it really improved the racing, because on these concrete tracks you tend to get that one groove racing, and that's why Bristol was so great for so long, is everybody ran on the low groove and you had to knock somebody out of the way to pass them. And some of these tracks that have, you know, that have gone to the PJ1 and the traction compound have really improved the product on the racetrack in terms of guys going all over the place, experimenting with things. So I'm just kind of trying to remember back. I mean, 2011, it was a while ago, that the one thing that always comes to my mind was Kyle Busch, of course, smashing the guitar that we talked about for 2 weeks after that. But of what it was really like there and what they could do to improve it. But the one thing that we always say is, if you want to improve racing at a track, don't necessarily ask the drivers, because what's good for the drivers is not necessarily good for the fans. You want to make it as difficult as possible. And the drivers say, let's not do that. It'll make it too hard. Well,
the drivers are never happy.
Did you hear that, Chase? Did you hear what John just said? Have you heard me say that once or a thousand times?
Yes.
Don't ever ask the drivers.
No, because they're never happy.
No.
They're never happy.
You don't ask them, but you tell them. You don't ask them, because you don't let them dictate it, because you're just not. It's not going to be what's best for the sport. It's what's best for them.
Yes.
Remember, they didn't want the Hans device either.
John, this is really the first piece of news that we have, to my knowledge, on the 2021 schedule. And I know everything going on, the coronavirus has delayed that. They were hoping to have the schedule out sooner than now, but What other changes do you see? Do you think that this is the only new track coming to the schedule, or could Iowa potentially be on the Cup Series schedule? Could there be other changes?
You know, I don't know why I hear people shooting down Iowa so much. I don't agree with that. I think that would be a great place to host a Cup race. I hear a lot of people are interested in maybe expanding to one more road course along the way. You know, Steve Phelps had said that he wanted this 2021 schedule out about at the time that they finalized that next generation car, which was going to be in April of this year. And so there were a few delays on it because they now have to go back. And not only do you have to negotiate deals with these new tracks, but with some of your existing tracks, you have to negotiate deals with and figure out how long they're going to be. And then you have to get the TV partners involved because, man, let you know, when you're looking at the kind of money the TV pays to have a race at a track, again, this is over these 4 years, you start out around $18 million in TV money and graduating up to 20 over 4 years. That's a ton of money. And so they have to go back through all that. So I know there's ideas out there. I know there's tentative schedules, but yeah, this whole thing with the shutdown just threw that right through the roof. And when I spoke with Steve Phelps, it was like, you know, just trying to do everything we can in a reasonable amount of time, but our timetable has just been totally shot.
Well, if you're in the market for a car, they've got a lot of Nissans parked out there at the Nashville Super Speedway. They're going to be looking to move them and get them off the track, so they'll probably cut you a good deal. Just keep that
in
mind.
I'm going to go out there with the weed whacker. I got to get out there with the weed whacker, apparently.
Yeah, we need to do that as well. Thanks for the visit, as always. Have a good show today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too. That's Sean Roberts, Sirius XM NASCAR channel. You can hear him daily on that channel. Does a really good job, and he lives right here in Nashville. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.